Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge introduces incredible stories shared by women across the globe who have experienced the great heights of success and, at times, the agony of defeat. With a vision to impart wisdom and advice on how to tackle barriers and soar to new heights, the show uncovers different perspectives to help you find your inner strength and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life.
Hello and welcome to Women Worldwide. Thanks for tuning into the show. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. And as we near the close of 2017, here's a question for you to think about. Would you say that you've reached your limitless potential? Has curiosity and passion helped you to create impact and to reach your goals? Well, when I think about limitless potential, being curious, creating impact, it reminds me of my special guest today because it's a focus of her work and life. Joining me on the show is Nikki Barua. Nikki is a born entrepreneur and the CEO of her company, Beyond Curious. Nikki's a change agent, and she's got a big mission to be a catalyst that unlocks the potential in a billion people through ideas, inspiration, and tools for transformation. She's leading a movement to empower people and organizations to thrive amidst disruption. And we all know how much disruption there is today. So she's founded Beyond Curious in 2011 to help large companies innovate, like startups. And since then, the award-winning digital accelerator has created massive impact by guiding leading brands in achieving their digital transformation goals. Nikki was awarded Entrepreneur of the Year by ACE in 2014, Woman Entrepreneur in North America by Ernst & Young, and also by the Business Journals in 2016, she was awarded a Woman of Influence. So I could go on and on about Nikki, but rather than doing that, she's here to share her story with you. Nikki, it's great to have you on my show. Welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
Wow. Well, you certainly come with an interesting background and award-winning. So I wonder, maybe we could just kick it off by asking what drove you to start your own business, Beyond Curious, and maybe you can share a little bit about your journey as an entrepreneur.
Absolutely. Well, my journey to entrepreneurship started when I was a little girl growing up in India. I was raised in an environment that was very traditional and conservative, where there weren't a lot of role models or success stories of seeing women, achieving great things. And in that environment where there were, it was not very exposed to the media and did not grow up with a lot of fancy toys or Barbie dolls. And, there was no such thing as Disneyland around. But there was something that my father did that really left an impression on my mind. He created this collage on the inside of my closet door. And in that collage, he had newspaper and magazine cuttings of incredibly inspiring women role models, from Indira Gandhi to Margaret Thatcher and Amelia Earhart. And he had all of these pictures on this collage. And in the center of that collage, he had a white sheet of paper, and he had sketched out my face.
Oh, my goodness. That's so interesting.
And he never said a word about it to me. He would keep adding these pictures on the inside of my closet door. And he never said to me, hey, I want you to be like these women or these are your heroes. But every day as I would open my closet door, I would look at this collage and, feel like I belonged amongst them. I grew up believing that they were my friends and that, the reason why we exist is to create massive impact in the world and that we're all limitless, just like these heroes on my closet door. And, I grew up with that belief that, it's possible for us to do absolutely anything. With that belief in my heroes, I learned very early on to really dream big and be bold and take courageous action. So, as I was growing up, you know, my dreams kept getting bigger and bigger, and I believe that America was the place where they would come true. And so 20 years ago, in 1997, I came to America with admission to business school, a one-way ticket, and a suitcase full of really unfashionable clothes and $250 in my pocket. So I was this young girl with big dreams, and here I was. I didn't really know what I was, what my journey would be like, but I knew that this was the place where anything was possible. And over the years, and experience throughout my professional career, and large corporations to, building great businesses to creating high performance teams, that collage has remained as a guiding light for me throughout my life, that really connecting with a hero within yourself and believing that you're limitless and creating the biggest impact possible. As my career successes grew, I found myself aching to get an even bigger platform so I can create even bigger impact. And that eventually led me to discovering my purpose, which is, one of those things that quite often people go through their lives wondering why they exist and if there's a bigger meaning. And I went through that for many, many years, wondering, how I could be just like the heroes on my collage. What is it? Why do I exist? What is it that I'm supposed to do in this world? And I finally discovered that in 2010, I realized that my purpose is to unlock people's potential. And that's what gave me the greatest joy. And that's what I was uniquely gifted at doing. And that's why I had such great professional successes, not because I'm some genius or have tremendous pedigree or anything, but because I had, my gift was seeing the gift in other people. And I decided that I wanted to do that at the biggest scale possible. And that led me to thinking about how do I apply that in a way that makes the greatest difference, which led to the idea of what is my company today, Beyond Curious. Focusing on providing a platform for bringing together people to become the best versions of themselves, to become innovative, and through that innovation, help really large companies, that typically tend to compete on their size, helping them compete on speed as well. So that journey from being a young girl in India, staring at this collage every single day, wondering about, why we exist, and to eventually finding my purpose and help getting that purpose to translate into a business. It's been a lot of adventure, a lot of ups and downs, but I could not be happier to be in a place where I've not only discovered my purpose, but I'm truly living my passion. And, as an entrepreneur, being able to create that impact every single day.
That's wonderful. So you mentioned your purpose, which, the collage was the start and how it was your guiding light. And that was a wonderful thing that your father did for you. But you also mentioned when you came to America, it was for business school. And I know that I read that you have three master's degrees. So how important was education and advanced learning to help you get to where you are? And was that also a part of you finding your purpose?
That's a great question. In the environment where I grew up, education was a need for survival, frankly. When you grow up in a country of a billion people, you have to do a lot more to stand out and to find opportunity. I grew up in a society where advanced education was the norm. It was not an exception. It was fairly common for people to aspire to graduate degrees or postgraduate degrees. And since coming to America, you know, I also got two additional master's degrees, an MBA, as well as a master's in information systems. And across each of these various degrees, it wasn't so much about what I was learning. It was what education, you know, the gift that I got from education was in how to think. You know, because the most powerful gift or tool we can be equipped with is being able to frame great questions. Because when you know how to approach a problem, you know, the answers emerge from within you. And so while each of my degrees is in an entirely different area, from social sciences to business to technology and so forth, in each case, formal education helped me not only you know, stoke my curiosity about subject matters that I could go very deep in, but it also taught me the power of being very disciplined in you know, analysis and giving me a framework for thinking. And because I had you know, I was able to look at things from, you know, a left brain and a right brain perspective, look at things from a very different angles. It's certainly, I can say that it certainly served me in unlocking my creativity.
Excellent. I think it's so important. You said something about finding the solutions really means knowing the right questions to ask. And so many leaders, if you're not tuned in, if you're not really listening, if you're not disciplined and focused, you often don't have those right questions to get to the solution. I want to pivot because, you know, when we talk about your company, Beyond Curious, I wonder, you know, how easy, difficult is it for people to be more curious, and how do you unlock their potential?
Yeah, well, I believe that curiosity is something that we're all born with. You know, curiosity is what leads us as, you know, young children to explore things and to want to learn and find solutions to, you know, things that inspire or excite us. But as we grow, we tend to lose that curiosity because we're afraid to ask, or we're afraid to simply pursue something where there's a potential of failure. And so our fears tend to get in the way of our curiosity. And when we let that fear overtake our curiosity, it limits our ability to learn and to grow and to give back. So, you know, the journey to curiosity, and interesting, as my company is called Beyond Curious for that reason, because mere curiosity can sometimes be just a passing fad where you're just curious about something. You go to Google, you search for something, and the very first answer that you get satisfies your curiosity. Being beyond curious is going past that point where you get obsessed about a problem, where you're determined to find the truth and you're determined to apply that solution to create real impact. And so that journey to curiosity is really getting back to your core of overcoming your fears, facing your failures, and enjoying the process of pure learning and letting your curiosity guide you to a better place. And in what we do with companies is really removing the barriers in the way that hold them back from finding the solutions that are right in front of them. So sometimes those barriers are cultural barriers. Sometimes those barriers are organizational. Sometimes they're technology or process. But in each case, you know, there's so much potential for individuals or for companies to do extraordinarily great things if they simply allow their curiosity and their you know, authenticity to lead them towards the right answer.
Do you think that feeling like you're in a safe space or trust helps to get over your fears within the organization? So in other words, you know, there's all sorts of different political climates within organizations due to size. You know, you said there are cultural issues. Do you think that employees need to feel that they are in a place where they can get over things by speaking out and addressing?
Yes, and that is a challenge because it's not an easy thing to do. For anyone who's worked at a big company, they can relate to that. We often tend to assume this persona in a large corporation about how we're supposed to behave, how we're supposed to speak to each other or collaborate, and in fear of being judged, criticized, or lose our power. Our core focus at Beyond Curious is really helping these large organizations think and act with the agility of a startup, because most big companies are like elephants. They're big and they compete on their size. But in today's environment, that's just not enough. You've got to have speed. Right. And if you think about all these incredible startups that are unicorns that are growing so fast, their biggest competitive advantage is their ability to innovate at speed. They're not just moving fast, but they're highly innovative and they're innovating every single day. It's not innovation that sits in a lab or a special department. It's the entire culture and every single person within that company that's highly innovative, risk-taking, pivoting, and adapting to change. What if a big company could do the same? Now, imagine the size of that big company. And combining that with the power of that kind of everyday innovation and that kind of speed, now you've created massive momentum. And the path to getting there is really in terms of creating those internal shifts where you are able to remove the barriers in the way, whether those barriers are outdated business models or outdated capabilities or a bureaucratic culture, which prevents people from, taking risks and prevents them from doing things that potentially have a chance of failure. When you are able to unleash that power, now you've removed the barriers that ultimately, helps to get those big elephants competing just like startups do. And that's why I say, we're really in the business of making elephants run. That's what.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely changing a mindset, taking an agile and flexible approach. So what about your challenges being an entrepreneur? Because I know you came out of the business world. So what do you think are some of your biggest challenges and how do you tackle tough obstacles?
Well, as an entrepreneur, your challenges are never ending. I've learned to frame it in a way that I measure my progress as an entrepreneur based on the size of my problems. So if my problems are getting bigger, I know I must be getting better.
I think we should all think that way. I like that.
But really, it's a bit like thinking about your life like a video game, right? We all start off at level one and we all have a set timer. The length of our life is that timer. And the only way to get from level one to level two is when you face the obstacles at level one, when you develop the skills and the confidence to overcome it. And, when you finally figure out the strategies that help you master that level, it's only then you get to level two. But guess what? As soon as you get to level two, your problems just get bigger. The obstacles are bigger. The skill set and the mindset you need in order to overcome those obstacles are even greater. And when you finally overcome that and you master level two, you get to level three, and then your problems are even bigger. Really mastering that game ultimately comes down to how your appetite for facing problems, your ability to quickly develop the skills and the mindset to overcoming that, and to have a great attitude as you go through it and enjoying that journey. And so the faster we master those levels, the quicker we evolve. The higher levels we get to. So that image or that metaphor has really been helpful because, as an entrepreneur, when you're fighting through this these battles all by yourself, and you're inspiring your team and supporting your clients, it can get pretty lonely. It can get pretty isolating of having to deal with many challenges. But if you have the right attitude, then you know it's just a matter of finding the right solution and you never stop looking for it. So for us, you know, from having started the company with no clients, no case studies, very little capital, it's been a journey of extraordinary hard work and grit throughout the process, but even more so one of optimism. Because if you have the right attitude of optimism and you have absolute conviction in what you're doing, then you're bound to find the solution. That's been my philosophy in going through this process.
Optimism and an appetite for facing problems. Really, really smart advice right there. Nikki, I'm going to ask you just to hold your thoughts for a moment. We're going to take a super quick break, give some love to our sponsor. I also want to mention that Women Worldwide is now on the C-Suite Radio Network. So you can find all of our episodes on c-suiteradio.com. And while you're there, be sure to check out all of the other great business podcasts as well.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Segment 2 is coming right up.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communication and innovative technology. Pure Performance Communications works with businesses to move their audiences from awareness to action and impact by offering a digital marketing roadmap. Let us help you foster deeper engagement and forge stronger relationships along the way. Visit us at pureperformancecom.com. That's pureperformancecom with two M's.com.
Now, back to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. Welcome back to the show. I've been chatting with Nikki Baru, a CEO of Beyond Curious, about how to be more curious and to unlock your potential. Nikki, we left off, you were saying something very interesting about how you have to have an appetite to face your problems, the optimism that you need. And advancing levels is like a video game where you have to address certain things in order to move to the next level. And I just wondered, in your experience, have you seen instances where companies are not addressing their problems on level one and they skip to level two? And then there's more problems on level two and they get to level three and they risk imploding. What's your advice there?
That's such a great question, and one that I can relate to personally. I in the early days of building the business, it's pretty intimidating when you are trying to do something that you don't have all the experiences and you're learning as you go. You're sort of giving it your best every single day and you're hustling and you're working hard, but you don't have all the answers. And then you start to see those early successes. So in my case, and you know, I started off without any customers at all. I did not have any investors. I frankly did not have a whole lot of capital of my own to put in. The only thing that got me going was this absolute belief in what I was doing and my determination to make it work. So every day I would reach out to my network and start to, you know, focus on generating business and opportunities. And my goal was, you know, I'm going to reach out to about, you know, 30 to 40 people a day. And hopefully somewhere along the way, I might land some meetings or get a chance to connect with the right stakeholders and get a chance to, go after my target customers. Well, every day I would reach out, and every single day, 100% of them would basically reject me. You know, so it was this long journey of many, many months of rejection.
Yes, that's part of being an entrepreneur too.
Right. So, and working out of my home, you know, imagine, you know, my routine was pretty much wake up, you know, get ready to face the day, reach out to a whole bunch of people, get rejected 100% of the time, end the day and hope that tomorrow is better. And that routine kind of continued for a while. And eventually that tenacity paid off and certain opportunities started to come about. And what eventually led to landing the first client and then the second client and the third client. And so you start to see these successes. And I thought I'd made it. And I thought, okay, I've cracked the code. You know, I have a real business because I've generated the first dollar of revenue. You know, we're making profit. I'm starting to hire people. We've made it. And then, you know, you start doing the work and you start to grow the business even more. And I thought I'd gone from level one and gone to level two because now I was measuring my successes based on the results that I was generating. You know, that I started off here in year one, in year two, I'm at two or three times the size that I was, and therefore I must be succeeding. And then we faced the first real setback, which was we were growing so fast that we started running out of cash. And because I had no investors and because I had no backup and not a huge line of credit or loans or anything at that time, it was a pretty huge setback. I mean, for the first time facing that fear that everything I worked towards could disappear in an instant. And we had something like 6 weeks of cash left in the business. And I had no idea how to deal with it and never faced anything like that before. So my reaction at first was, I have failed. I've completely failed because I failed to anticipate this. I failed to prepare myself and my team and my business for this. And it's game over. And to be honest, I mean, for first couple of weeks, I think I was wallowing in self-pity.
Yes.
You know, I can't say that I, you know, had a great attitude about it. I was pretty much in this state of woe is me, you know, like why do bad things happen to me? Because I've been this good person. I've been a good leader. I've been, I've given it my all. I've tried so hard and here it is. It's the end of the road. You know, it's game over. And then I realized, well, I could sit and cry about this, or I could keep looking for solutions. I could keep trying to figure out how to get out of this. And as soon as I committed to that, as soon as I shifted my mindset from feeling sorry about the problems to embracing my own strength and believing that I was bigger than my problems, suddenly it unleashed my creativity. And then I got my team together, and instead of hiding the fact that I was facing these challenges, we got together, we brainstormed a whole bunch of different solutions, we started trying out a whole bunch of different things, and lo and behold, we got out of that. And that, overcoming that barrier and overcoming that challenge actually fueled such tremendous confidence and reinforced the belief and the conviction even more, such that the next time I faced a cash flow issue, because that never ends, you know, the more you grow, the more you run out of cash. The next time I faced it, I had evidence of success of having dealt with it before. So my confidence in dealing with that was greater, except the difference was the next time I did it, the cash flow issues were twice as big. So,
because you're on a new level, bigger problems.
And so that's, as I face bigger and bigger problems, that's when I realized that really entrepreneurship is such a gift of being on this journey of self-discovery, of discovering your own strengths and recognizing that we are way bigger than our problems. And the bigger our problems, the bigger we get. And so as I started measuring my successes in the journey, less by the results that I was producing and more by the size of the challenges I was facing, kind of fueled me with this very different attitude and appetite for facing challenges and overcoming barriers.
Well, thank you for sharing that story, because I think that is so real that many can relate to. And, you know, you mentioned the optimism. There's definitely courage, your self-discovery, but there's also this level of honesty, right? Honesty that you have to have with yourself, and even more so the people around you who have been building your company and who are there supporting you. And I think that's a real breakthrough. The point where you said that, you know, I shared with my team and we brainstormed toward the solution, that is a pivotal moment.
Yeah, I think it was a moment of being extraordinarily vulnerable, because as leaders, and this is not just an entrepreneurial thing. I mean, even in a big company, there's an expectation we often place upon ourselves that if we're in a leadership role, we are supposed to be bigger, stronger, braver than everybody else. And what we miss out on is the power of the collective. That as leaders, our jobs are about empowering other people and unlocking them and being leading a movement as opposed to a business. And but it was a hard thing to face, because the expectations I placed on myself that I was somehow supposed to be capable and have all the answers, and I was supposed to lead this perfectly and make no missteps because I was responsible for the lives and the livelihood of the people in my care, that I was somehow failing them. That was a very hard thing to come to terms with, and then to be vulnerable enough to share that with them. And I still remember that that day where I got my team together, and it was a town hall, and I just broke down and you know, shared that I felt like I had failed them, and shared the crisis that we were facing as a business, and that recognizing that their dreams were in my hand, and that I'd somehow not prepared myself or prepared my business to deal with a barrier of this kind. But what happened next was what was so extraordinary, that their reactions were not to say, well, too bad the business is running out of cash, because here's my resume and I'm going next door to find a job. Which is part of my fear, that as soon as I tell them that things are shaky, that they might all bail.
See ya.
Yeah, and instead the reaction I got was, well, you're not in this alone, and we're going to figure it out, because we're all equally committed. We're missionaries and not mercenaries, and we're all strong and capable and smart enough to figure this out, and together we'll find a way. There's got to be a way, and we'll figure it out together. And the way it connected us, the intimacy and the emotional honesty that led to not only the eventual solution, but more importantly, it led to us becoming a high-performing team that was truly connected by a bigger mission and a belief in something bigger than ourselves and to each other. And after that, I mean, that was, that setback catapulted us three levels higher. And so the next time there was a setback, we sort of recognized that as, wow, here's an, you know, bring it on. We're so excited we have another setback, because that just means we're going to catapult many levels higher, even more so. And it taught me one of the most important lessons of leadership is, you know, humanity. Of you know, being authentic and vulnerable, and really being grateful for the opportunity to lead and to bring out the best in all the other people.
Yeah, I mean, definitely you exhibited the characteristics of a true leader. And by the reaction of your team, they believed in you and they went forward. And that's such a great story. You know, you mentioned the big organization, big companies, expectations. You have to be bigger, stronger, braver. Do you think that your days working with Sapient and EY, because I did see that in your bio, did that also play a part? I mean, did you learn anything there that you sort of brought along with you into your own entrepreneurial company and venture?
Absolutely. I feel so blessed that I had the opportunity to work with, some great organizations. My journey has been one of going from corporate roles to being an entrepreneur and seeing both sides of it. And in the organizations that I worked in, you know, they're all known for their culture. They're known for great leadership. They're known for providing an environment where people thrive. And so in both companies, I was very fortunate to have extraordinary mentors that really taught me, the ultimate responsibility of leadership, and the real privilege of leadership is what you unlock in other people. And I was fortunate to be the recipient of that, to see how much I had grown and unlocked, because I was fortunate to have great leaders and great mentors. But working in large organizations also taught me the power of scale. When you solve problems at such massive scale, the challenges are very different, and it really takes a village, if you will, to solve yes. anything. So the power of being connected and being able to see things at a 50,000 foot level that give you a macro view into global challenges with global organizations, that's a gift that I think has really influenced my thinking. Even as I build Beyond Curious, is really taking that big picture view, taking that perspective of scale in solving problems. But above all, I would say it's the power of culture, because it's great. Big companies that are also great organizations get there because they have extraordinary cultures. And culture starts from the top. It's what leaders embody. It's what they inspire. It's what they encourage. But it's also what they tolerate. So whatever is tolerated is what becomes. And great organizations are very, very clear about what is acceptable and what's not. And so to be able to not only see that, but experience that firsthand really influenced my belief and my commitment to great culture and great organizations.
Absolutely. And Nikki, how do you stay innovative in your role and in your life? What are you doing to continuously, work beyond curious for yourself?
Well, for myself, I have certain practices that I've adopted for many, many years that I think are at the core of helping me remain innovative. First off, I go through this planning process every week, usually on Sunday evenings, and I ask myself the same set of questions every week. And it's really looking at, revisiting my long-term vision and looking at what are, the top three things the outcomes that I want to create align with my vision. And looking at the week before to say, what outcomes did I produce that were in line with that long-term vision? And what do I need to do for the coming week? Not in terms of task lists and emails and this and that, but really looking at it in terms of results and outcomes. How do I move the ball forward towards this long-term vision? And what are the most important things that need to happen in the coming week? And what that practice has done is provided me not only the absolute clarity on what's important and why, but it's helped me learn in that process on what worked, what did not work, what I need to do differently, and also helped me appreciate the progress I've made, celebrate my successes, and take stock of it. Because quite often we kind of go through our journey, focusing on what we don't have yet or how far we need to go, but we don't stop, pause and reflect on how far we've come and celebrate our successes. So going through this weekly routine, this weekly exercise really helps me get realigned to the long-term, reflect on my progress, celebrate my successes, but also then fuel myself for the next step. For the week ahead. It's a bit like, you know, going on a marathon, right, where you're constantly refueling yourself. And taking that moment to pause and reflect on what I've learned and the questions I have to face next. What do I need to learn next? What are the challenges I'm likely to encounter? How do I prepare myself for that? And reflecting on the environment that I'm in. It's fascinating when you ask yourself powerful questions. It's really fascinating, you know, how your creativity is unleashed to come up with great answers. And that process of that weekly routine that I have then leads into sort of, you know, on a daily basis, the first thing I do in the morning is I have about 45 minutes of think time where I simply ask myself one question. And that question varies, you know, from day to day. But I think about the question I want to ponder on. And I sit with a journal and, a pen, and I simply think through that question. So it could vary as much as, you know, what's happening and what's likely to happen in the economy to how will technology shape our lives to, you know, what is next in my business to thinking about what my team needs to how I need to evolve. But that practice of asking myself powerful, high impact questions and creating space to simply think and ponder and imagine, That's been my secret sauce.
Well, I really like your planning process, and I do agree. Probably many of us don't pause and reflect. I want to make sure we get in a little bit about your new book that is coming out, right? February, I believe, 2018, Beyond Barriers, How to Unlock Your Limitless Potential. Maybe you could just share quickly about your book.
Absolutely. So this book is a labor of love. Very excited about it coming out in February 2018. What I found is not only throughout my journey of facing extreme adversity in many, many forms, but also in building my community of very successful people, you know, that curiosity about them and their journeys and asking people, how did they become as successful as they are. And as I investigated into that, what I discovered is that there were similar patterns in everyone's journey. And, you know, the most successful people tend to have faced a lot of adversity in their lives and overcome a lot, much like that video game. They keep going from big, you know, one level to another, facing bigger and bigger obstacles. And what has guided them are three key things. One is clarity, that they have absolute clarity on what they want and why they want it. And the second is courage, being able to face their fears and deal with failure and develop the confidence to do bigger, bolder things. And the third is maintaining the conviction that no matter how challenging the journey gets, they're constantly learning, adapting, and celebrating the successes. And that allows them to maintain that grit and tenacity to keep going. So when you have the clarity, courage, and conviction, that's how you go beyond barriers and unlock your potential. And that's the book presents framework for applying that in your life, and also share stories of extraordinary people that have overcome a lot and achieved a tremendous amount of success.
Well, sounds like an excellent book. Clarity, courage, conviction. That's a great framework. Thank you for that advice. Last question, where can people find out more about you, your work, and your book?
My company is Beyond Curious, so you can find out more about Beyond Curious at beyondcurious.com, also on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook, and so forth. I am, you can learn more about me on nikkiberua.com, and also follow me on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook.
Awesome. Nikki, thank you so much for coming on the show, for sharing your journey, for being so transparent, and for offering your advice as well. We really appreciate you.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. And I also want to thank all of you for tuning into Women Worldwide. Until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.